We've been talking about homegrown this month. Somebody look at your neighbor and say homegrown. When something's homegrown, you can taste the what? You can taste the love and you can taste the difference in it, right? And so last week we talked about SOAP, S-O-A-P, a method for studying your Bible, S for scripture, O for, anybody remember? Good, observation, A for application, and P for prayer. And earlier this year, Anna had a day off of school, and she went in her room and disappeared for a little bit, and then she came out holding a message, if I remember right, and she said, I said, what you got there? She said, Dad, I wrote a sermon. I said, wow, let me see it. And so I began to read it, and I was blown away to hear what Anna had written and what God had laid on her heart. And so she wanted to preach it, and I said, baby, why do you want to preach it? Why is that important to you? She said, well, it made a difference and was important to me. And she said, I wanted to touch somebody else's heart. So today, Anna is going to bring y'all the word. Is that okay? All right, sis.
So the title of my message today is Digging Deep. We're going to be talking about the importance of reading and knowing your Bible. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you that we get the opportunity to be able to come and know you. And I pray that these people will come and grasp more of you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So the reason I chose this topic is to help you and touch you like it did for me. Last year, I went to States in Harrisburg for 4-H, where I got to show pleasure pony driving. I was getting really nervous at the hotel about showing my horse the next day. So I pulled my Bible out and went to my concordance and looked up faith. In my Bible, it tells you the word and verses you can find it. I looked up all the scriptures on faith, and then I came to the one that spoke to me the most. It was Hebrews 11. In sports, you've heard of the Hall of Fame for players who accomplish great things, but in the Bible, in Hebrews 11, we find the Hall of Faith, filled with heroes who accomplish great things for God by faith. So I read this chapter, and it really helped me calm down.
Anna, you could have picked a lot of other passages, but tell me how reading Hebrews chapter 11 helped you.
Well, it helped other people in the Bible, and I felt like it would help me.
Yeah, absolutely. It helped settle you down, mm-hmm. And you were full of anxiety. Maybe some fear was there, and that gave you peace that you needed. You could have looked up grace, mercy, joy, praise, victory, be a good one, love. How come you chose faith?
Well, after practice went bad, I mean, it went horrible. It gave me confidence, and I felt like I could win the next day.
Yeah, so practice was a little bit nerve-wracking, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it also says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So faith gave me the power to overcome my feelings.
Absolutely. I think we've got some pictures there too, guys. Do we have some pictures that show when Anna, was at her state show the next day? And that was her showing her mini. And that's her with her trainer, Max Weed. He does a great job. Zoe just said, he calls me Tony. Yes, he does. He messes with her all the time. So it helped her settle down, and you won the next day, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
You got second place in one and fifth in the other. That's pretty good. But she found the strength she needed to make it in God's word. Can somebody say amen today? Awesome. 12 years old. Maybe you're here today, you need a win in your life in an area. That's exactly how to find it. It's the same way it worked for her, it'll work for us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it's in there. And in the chapter you read, it's one of my favorites, says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And the Bible goes on and says, Jesus himself said, Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 3, Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. He said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whoever says to this obstacle, maybe yours was fear that was standing in the way of you winning a championship or whatever your obstacle might be, whether it's sickness or whatever it might be today, anxiety, depression, you name it today, whatever that mountain Satan has set in your path is, Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, get out of here and be cast into the sea and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, then he will have whatever he says, and that's so powerful for us.
In Mark 9:23, it says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So faith makes the impossible possible.
That's good.
So you might be asking yourself today, so what does faith have to do with the Bible? Well, Romans 10:17 tells us that faith actually comes from hearing the Bible.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by
the Word of God.
So it comes from hearing God's Word over and over.
Daddy, where did the most talkative people in the Bible live?
Where did the most talkative people in the Bible live? You tell me.
Babylon.
Babylon. I gotcha.
Who was the only person in the Bible without a father?
The only person in the Bible with no father.
Joshua, because he was the son of Nun.
Joshua, the son of Nun. I gotcha.
So how can this help you? All right, here are the 5 reasons to dig deeper in your Bible. Number 1, get your Bible out and read it. We don't get our Bible out as much as we do spend time doing our hair. For the adults, you can read your Bible in the morning, during your lunch break, at supper, or before night at bed. And us kids, same thing. We can read as we ride the bus or in the car. If you are homeschooled, you can read in the morning, lunch, or supper. Putting the Word of God in our heart is so important, because imagine if a terrorist group or president took away all religious freedoms. What if we were only allowed to worship Buddha and no other God? What if all Bibles were taken away? What if we were not allowed to pray or worship or read the Bible at all? Would you be ready? Would you hide a Bible? Would you tear out pages and hide them in your heart, not mind? Are you ready for that? Is His Word living in your heart? Is your soul connected with God? Is your mind staying pure? Would we be able to go on life and keep serving God if we lost those freedoms? Can you believe and trust in the Lord? Can you stand up for what is right? Because in Proverbs 3:5-6, it tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will keep your path straight. Are you submitting to Him and on His perfect path? Are you on the right path of God? Can I get an amen?
Amen. That's one of my favorites right there. So I'll amen that one. I love what you said. You said, would we be able to go on with life? And I didn't write this for her. She wrote this. This is coming out of her heart. Amen. I was thinking about what you said. Would we be able to go on with life as normal if we lost the freedoms that I think a lot of us take for granted as Americans? Just out of curiosity, how many people this morning said, Father, thank you that I'm able to come and worship you freely in a nation where we're able to do that? Just seriously, how many of you did that? Raise your hand. Okay, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 out of about 450. Father, thank you that we live in a nation where we can worship you. Amen. Thank God for our men and women that have paid the price for our freedoms. You know, in China, to my knowledge, for believing in an invisible Messiah and holding a Bible study where you promote him, it's an automatic 3-year jail sentences. And I don't think the jails are nearly as nice as they are here. Anna, have you ever heard the saying, you are what you eat?
Not until you said it.
Well, it's true. So daddy is a big bologna sandwich. You are what you eat. So what goes in must come out. And as I begin to think about that, I begin to look into some statistics and realize that the average American watches 5 hours of TV a day. The average American. That's 35 hours a week, 141 hours a month, 1,692 hours of TV a year. That's a whole lot of TV. If you live the average life expectancy of 78, then that will mean you spent 15 years of your life straight doing nothing but watching TV. John Gleason was sitting in my office when we were talking about these statistics, and he said, man, I got to shut my cable off. I used to read more when my cable wasn't on. But what that tells us is that we spend 35 hours a week watching TV, but on average, we only spend 2.25 hours a week in God's house. Do you see the difference there? Do you see that we have a lopsided feeding program? Do you see the importance for last week's message? You've got to feed yourself. We've got to get God's word into our diet. Now, here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you go home and throw out your TV. That's the fastest way to get your kids ticked off at God, because now they're going to blame Jesus that you took away something they love. But it does mean that there's no wonder we're being devoured, church. It does mean that when we have a feeding program that lopsided in our minds and our children's minds are being inundated and saturated with the spirit of the world, it's no wonder we act out the way we do, because what goes in must come out. Somebody say that with me today. What goes in must come out. Let's say it again. What goes in must come out.
Number two, do you know what verses to turn to when you are struggling? Do you know how to give advice to friends and family when they are in need?
Anna, what's a chapter in your Bible that would be good for somebody to go to?
Proverbs.
If they need wisdom?
That's a great book for it. Mm-hmm. And so I gave my dad a book called God's Promises for Your Every Need, which is a book full of wisdom. And so we do not want to suffer from Satan. We want to walk by faith, not by sight. We need to fear the Lord and shun evil. Just tell Satan to talk to the hand. Say, Satan, shut up, get lost, you're a loser.
That's what to tell him.
And in James 4:7, it tells us to therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Number three, do you know how to pray the word of God and cast out demons? Can you pray a verse like Mark 11:23 and say, Dear Lord, thank you that you have the strength to move my mountains. Or are you one of those ones who are like, Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that Adam and Eve lived in the garden. No, none of us should be like that. We need to stomp on Satan and cast out demons, because in Luke 10:19, it tells us that I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. The word of God gives you the authority to be bold and drive away Satan.
Awesome. I asked Anna this week, Anna, what does the word authority mean? And she said, well, authority means I have the authority as her dad over her to tell her what to do or to tell her to take out the trash, and
I must obey.
You have to obey. So that's a pretty good definition. That's what authority comes down to, that when you speak, others have to obey. She went on a step farther and said, our president has authority in our nation, and when he says something, it has to be done. And so I thought about that, and I thought about Mark 16:17. And Jesus said this. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Are there any believers in the house this morning? Amen. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name, they shall cast out demons. One version says, in my name, they shall drive out demons. And we do deal with demonic spirits regularly, whether you realize that or not. We're dealing with demonic spirits at work in people's lives, trying to influence your life, influencing others to come against you or attack you or to behave a certain way. And sometimes we only think of things like this in terms of demonic possession. And certainly we have the authority, if somebody's possessed, to say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of that person and flee from them now. And that demon has to obey. But what about situations where we need to drive the enemy back because it's preventing relationships from growing or preventing the kingdom from moving forward? Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says it like this. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So the Bible says there are demonic spirits at work that you are coming into contact with all the time. Some of us don't even think about that. But what I love is just 5 verses later, it goes on and it tells us that we have a weapon that we can use to drive the enemy back. We have a weapon that can't be defeated. We have a weapon that never fails. We have a weapon that's always on target. Like a laser-guided missile, the Bible says that the sword of the Spirit, God lists his armor that he gives us, and it's all defensive. A helmet, a shield, a breastplate, the shodding of our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace so that our feet are covered and protected. But there's only one weapon there he gives us that's offensive. He said, the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. What is the sword of the Spirit? Anna, your hand holding a pretty good sword there. Why don't you hold it up high for everybody? It's pretty heavy, isn't it?
Yes.
The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The sword of the Spirit, which is what? the only offensive weapon that God gives us is the Word of God. Even Jesus himself, the Son of God, used God's Word to drive the enemy out. When Satan tempted him in the wilderness in the 40 days that he was fasting, Satan would come and tempt Jesus, and Jesus would say, "It is written." And Satan would leave, and Jesus would overcome that temptation. Three different times, "It is written, it is written, it is written," and he defeated the attack of the enemy. And so God has given us a sword that we have, and it is his word. This is a pink sword. That's pretty tough right there. You're going to run off some assailants with a pink sword. But the word of God is a sword. It gives us the power to drive back the enemy. Hebrews chapter 4 says that the word of God is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, just like the one Anna's holding today, that we're able to use. The Bible says in Revelation that when Jesus comes back, baby, he's coming back not the way he came with the first time, not a lowly baby in a manger. He's coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, riding a big white stallion like you like, with fire in his eyes. His hair is like wool. He's got a robe on, and on his name is written a thigh, faithful and true, hallelujah. And out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, and with his mouth, with his word, he uses it to subdue the nations and the people who are rebelling against him. Can I tell you today that the word of God restores the righteousness in your life, in your home, in your family, in your business today? Can somebody say amen, that the word of God is powerful? So I like March Madness. We've been watching some basketball at home. Mommy was a baller, and so we've been having fun watching March Madness. But you know, you don't win games if all you do is play defense. No matter how good your defense is, if you don't put points on the board, you're going to lose that game. Look, there's a lot of Christians playing great defense, but it's time to go on the offense. We're not trying to lose by less. We're not trying to just make it into heaven. God has put you here with authority in your mouth to overcome the power of the enemy, as Anna said, and nothing, nothing, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We have the word of God, and God is looking for mighty men and women to go on the advance, on the offensive, and start taking back what Jesus already bought and paid for with his own blood, and that is the true treasure, the souls of lost men and women that we can lead to Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Thank God today that there is victory in Jesus. Would you give him praise?
Yeah. Number four, do your words line up with God's words, or do they line up with Satan's words?
It's good.
I'm talking about our language. Not if you speak Spanish, French, or English, but I'm saying, if God was in this room right now, would you change how you talk?
Oh.
Do we gossip and talk behind our friends' backs? Are we boasting and bragging? Because in Proverbs 6:16-19, it says, there are six things the Lord hates. Seven of them are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, and a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in his community. There's also greed, jealousy, and addiction. Are you stuck in that trap today? Romans 13:9-10 says, the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are you summed up to this one rule? Love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Love does no harm to its neighbor.
That's good.
Number five, and finally today, find your word for 2017. Ask God for your word for the year. I asked God to tell me what my word for this year was and what it meant for my life and how it would help me. So he said mine was demolish. And then I found a verse in the Bible to go with it. 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world, but on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds.
Amen. I love that word. Demolish? I like to blow stuff up. That's a good word. You are daddy's girl. You know what I'm proud of you for? Number one, I thank God for New Covenant Academy. They teach their kids to do this. And I thank God for that. That's amazing. But what blows my mind is that you asked God to give you a word that would help you this year. And when you heard it, you went and got a scripture to back it up. Anytime we feel like God's told us something, we should have scripture to back it up. Can you say amen today? Anna, let me ask you this morning. What did the word demolish mean to you? How did that help you?
Well, I could demolish anything, any sin in my heart, and I could help demolish any other sins. And if they were falling in the trap of Satan, I could just demolish that.
Amen. Isn't that good? Yeah. Praise God.
And then I received another word, and it was administrator.
Administrator, that's a big word for a 12-year-old girl. And you know what? I thought of a scripture that went with it. It's 1 Corinthians 12:28 in the Amplified. And it says, so God has appointed some in the church for his own use. First apostles, special messengers. He says, second prophets, inspired preachers and expounders. Third teachers, and then wonder workers. Then those with the ability to heal the sick, helpers. What's that word right there?
Administrator.
Isn't that the word he gave you?
Yes.
So that's in the Bible, administrators, people who are able to administrate. Speakers in different unknown tongues. I love that God spoke to your heart something powerful that daddy and mama recognize in you. And I want to make sure y'all know something. We don't push Anna at all. We encourage her. We speak to her gifts and her talents, but we don't lean on her. I don't push her at all. This was all her this morning wanting to share this powerful word with you because she believed God had given her something that would help strengthen you like it did her.
So I challenge you today, when you go home, to find your word for 2017. Daniel 11:32 tells us, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits.
I love that. Would y'all stand with us this morning? Anna challenged me on that one. She said, Daddy, why don't... She was come home so excited. She said, Daddy, why don't you ask God for a word for this year? So I thought, well, I got quite a lot going on, but... I thought, well, I'm going to do it because she inspired me. And so I began to seek the Lord for a word that would help shape my year. And God gave me the word synchronize or divine alignment. And what he spoke to me was, this year you need to get alone, you need to get still, and you need to get quiet because he wanted me to line up with where he was at, what he was doing, and how to keep moving forward. Not that I hadn't been doing that on some level, but to be very, very intentional about it. And I'm telling you what, that word has defined my year because that's exactly, as I look back now, we're almost through one quarter, I look back now, that's exactly what's happened and how God has been moving in my life and speaking into my heart. And so, baby, thank you so much for challenging Daddy, too. Anna, there's one burning question that is most important. What is that question?
Do you know Jesus? Is he Lord and Savior of your life? If not, you can right here, right now.
That's the most important question we'll ever answer. You know it? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 breaks down God's plan of salvation for us so quickly. It says that if you confess or say with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's after he died on the cross for our sin. The Bible gives us a promise. He said, if you do those two things, you will be saved. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with our mouth confession is made unto salvation. And it goes on and says, for the scripture says, whoever, somebody say whoever. That's you. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. He goes on in verse 13 and says, whoever, that's all of us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
It's as simple as ABC. A, admit you have sinned. B, believe in your heart. And C, confess Jesus as Lord. Would you please bow your heads and close your eyes? If today you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you'd like to have a new friend in your life to help you with your life struggles, in a moment I'm going to count to three and you can accept him as your Lord and Savior. And if you'd like to rededicate your life and you've walked away from the Lord and you've fallen short of the glory and you'd like to rededicate your life, in a moment I'm going to count to three and you can raise your hand and accept him again.
Amen.
And so don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait until next week. Do it today.
That's right.
So are you ready? One, two, three.
Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand back there. I thank you for that hand right there. Is there somebody else here today? I thank you, brother, for your hand right here. Is there another one here this morning? I see that hand on the back row. I see that hand right there. I see that hand right there. Is there somebody else? I see you right here, baby. I thank you for your hand. I see you right here, ma'am. Is that, come on, church. Let's celebrate what's going on right now. Is there somebody else here today? If you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just wave at us real high. We're looking for you. Today is your day. Is there one more here? I see you right there in the pink shirt. Praise God for you. He would have done it just for you. Is there someone else? Is there another young person? Anna's speaking to you. I see Anna right there. See? Thank you, baby, for your hand. Is there someone else here today? Anna, look right there. Thank you, buddy, for your honesty. Is there somebody else here today? Anna, look here. See that little guy? I bet he's old enough to understand what you just said. Is there somebody else here today? Do y'all see what's happening? Is there somebody else here today? Faith is rising in your heart. You say, Josh, I believe those things. There's no need to wait. Right here, I see this. Right here, my buddy, right here. Is there one more here today? Anybody we've missed? Anna, look right there. Hi, gorgeous. I see you right there. Boy, are you pretty. Look right there, Anna. There's enough. You want to talk about speaking to her own generation. Praise yeah. God. Is there somebody else here today? Hallelujah. Just a moment longer. I see you right here, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you for your honesty. 5, 4, 3, 2. Is there just one more here today? Amen. Come on, church. Let's just celebrate. Good grief. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo!